Greetings to you, my sisters and brothers, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Our scriptural reading comes from Paul's letter to Philemon. It's only one chapter. I don't know whether there are verses or chapters. If a verse can be a chapter, it means that we have 25 chapters. But if all what we have are verses, then we have 25 verses. It's a letter that Paul wrote. This one, Paul, a prisoner for Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved fellow worker, and Apphia, our sister, Archippus, our fellow soldier, and the church in your house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus Christ and for all the saints. And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. For I have derived from joy, much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. Accordingly, though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do what is required, yet for love's sake I prefer to appeal to you. I, Paul, an old man and now a prisoner also for Christ's sake, I appeal to you for my child Onesimus, whose father I became in my imprisonment. Formerly, he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful to you and to me. I am sending him back to you, sending my very heart. I would have been glad to keep him with me in order that he might save me on my behalf during my imprisonment for the gospel. But I preferred to do nothing without your consent in order that your goodness might not be by compulsion, but of your own accord. For this perhaps is why he was parted from you for a while, that you might have him back forever. No longer as a slave, but more than a slave, as a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So if you consider me your partner, receive him as you would receive me. If he has wronged you at all, or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay it, to say nothing of your owing me even your own self. Yes, brother, I want some benefit from you in me, from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. At the same time, prepare a guest room for me, for I am hoping that through your prayers, I will be graciously given to you. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends greetings to you, and so do Mark. Aristarchus, Demas and Luke, my fellow workers, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you, your spirit. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. To him be glory, and to us a blessing. Amen. 2 weeks ago, I was preaching in the church just next to the college there. And in my introductory remark, I was explaining to the congregants about how God speaks to us. And I mentioned to the congregation, saying that God speaks to us through history. Maybe some of you were just saying that maybe he's saying this just because he's a church historian, but it's a true fact. As I'm talking now, I'm sure God has already spoken to you through history. The history of your life, the history of your family, and even the history of your church. It's true. God speaks to us through history. He has spoken to us through the history of Israel. But not only that, God also speaks to us through letters. Through letters. And the passage that we have read, it's a good example of this, that God speaks to us through letters. I'm just thinking that when Paul was writing this letter, he was addressing that letter to a colleague. I don't think that for him it meant that it would be part of the scriptures. But by God's grace, this letter is part of the scriptures, and we should thank God for that. Indeed, God is still speaking to us. Hebrews chapter 1, we read about how God spoke to our forefathers, and the passage is saying that today God is speaking to us through his Son, Jesus Christ. Maybe the question that you and I must ask is, how does God speak to me as an individual? This is important. Yes, we have general answers, general questions. Say, how does God speak? And we always give general answers. God speaks through the scriptures and what? Fine. But are you addressed by God through the scriptures? That is the most important question. So this letter is a private one. Paul is addressing Philemon. It is more or less like also a postcard, according to the content of this letter. I think you and me can agree that Paul is not harsh in this letter. He's very polite. He has a diplomatic approach. And somehow, according to the content, Paul is also making some sort of declaration. That's why we read Paul says, I, Paul. It's more or less like also a declaration. In these 25 verses, Paul is writing about grace, prayer, love, faith, power of the gospel, the ministry, reconciliation, as well as providence. If we would have time, I think we can spend even the whole year trying to tackle all these issues. But just because we don't have enough time, we can just look at a few of them, but very briefly. But we can also sum up this book by describing three important individuals. First, Paul. Paul is saying, according to verse 1, Paul, a prisoner for Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother. While on Galatians 1, verse 1, Paul is saying, an apostle through Jesus Christ. He was trying to be more apologetic because some people were saying, no, this one is not an apostle. He was not one of the 12. So Paul was trying to emphasize his position that he is indeed an apostle. By the time he was writing this letter, he was in prison. That's what we are also learning from this, that he was in prison, probably in Rome. Paul was converted through the direct ministry of Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 9, it's very, very clear. Remember what Jesus Christ said to Paul. He said, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And Paul said, who are you? And Jesus Christ explained, and he was told what he must do. I know that there are some people who are saying that the passage is about the call of Paul. But according to what I believe, it is also about his conversion as well as his calling. You cannot be called without being converted. If we have people who have been called without being converted, then that is very unfortunate. That is very unfortunate. Yes, we have preachers who have not been converted. Truly. But by their message, we can easily tell that this one was called or this one was not called. I'm not trying to say that we should judge other people. But according to the scriptures clearly say that by their fruits, we will know them. Verse 11 is very interesting. Paul is describing Onesimus, saying, formerly he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful to you and to me. Although Paul is describing about Onesimus being useless and also being useful afterwards, I think also at one point Paul was also useless. He was useful in the kingdom of the devil, and he was useless in the kingdom of God. You can't be useful in both kingdoms. Either you should be useful in the kingdom of the devil, useless in the kingdom of God, or the opposite. As I'm talking now, there are people who are useful in the kingdom of the devil. At the same time, we still have also other people who are useful in the kingdom of God, but they are useful in the kingdom of the devil. Paul was one of them. At one time, he was the destroyer of the church. He was the persecutor of the church. But after meeting with the living Christ, his life changed. Implying that whosoever meets the living Christ, there is a transformation of his, of all her life. Philemon, according to this letter, was a dear friend. In other versions they are saying, was a beloved friend. A dear friend, a beloved friend, and a fellow worker or a co-worker of Paul. But it also shows that he was just, also a rich person. He had friends, slaves, including Onesimus. And there are people who are suggesting that he was also led to Christ through the ministry of Paul. I think that is also the whole purpose of Mukanyo. That through the ministry of Mukanyo, other people should be led to Christ. It is also my prayer. And I'm thinking it is also your prayer. That through our ministry as individuals, through the ministry as Mukanyo, many men and women should be led to Christ. Philemon was led to Christ through the ministry of Paul. He was also a respected person. We read that even the church was using his house. In other words, at one time, Philemon was also useless, but he became useful after meeting the living Christ. Finally, about Onesimus, according to this passage, he was a slave, and then he fled to Rome. I spoke about, although I just mentioned about providence, as he was running away, and then he met the Lord Jesus Christ through the ministry of Paul. It was by providence. It was not what his intention to go to Rome and get converted, or it was not God's it was not Paul's plan that after Philemon arrived, then he would be converted. But it was God's plan, his providence, that Onesimus was converted. That's why Paul, in verse 11, he says that formerly he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful to you and also to me. Being useless and also being useful afterward. I've just suggested the title of this sermon should be Useless in One Kingdom and Useful in Another. The purpose of the letter, Paul is trying to make an appeal on behalf of Onesimus, so that Philemon could receive his former slave. That was the whole purpose. But the letter also gives us a clear and a deep insight into how useless person became useful. Not only to one person, but to many persons, including God. At the same time, this letter also is trying to clean the Bible picture that people may have on Philemon by having a slave running away. Some people could have also become very suspicious, saying maybe the master was harsh, maybe or that. So Paul is also trying to say, oh no. It's fine with him. But Paul is also requesting on Philemon to demonstrate the gospel in such a way in which he treats Onesimus. How should we demonstrate the gospel? We have read about the gospel. We have read the gospel. We know the gospel. I think one thing that has remained is to demonstrate that gospel. This morning in my class, I was explaining to students. We were looking at the issues of slave trade and how slave trade ended. Then one of the things that we just discussed was that the gospel has got a power. Has got a power. We discussed about this, and we said that it was through the gospel that the slave trade ended. It's God's work through the gospel, through Christ. When people started preaching, teaching each other about the love of God and how we should relate to one another. And it's when those people who were practicing slave trade came back to their senses and said, I think we are making a mistake. The power of the gospel. So there are just a few things that we need to draw from this passage. I will just be so brief. The first thing that we can draw from this passage is that a sinner can change. Very simple as all that. I think this is what God is doing. Every time, every moment, God is giving us a second chance. That's why we are living today. God is giving us a second chance. Perhaps this woman, perhaps this man can change. Perhaps he can change. And then the days are passing. Unfortunately, we don't understand this. Why are we living today? I know people may have different answers. They may say, no, so that I can do a business, so that I can work. They can have different answers. But I think God is giving us a chance. In the Bible, we have a good example of a person or some individuals whose lives were changed. Let's read it together. Psalms 51. It's a well-known chapter. It's a good example just to explain what I'm saying. Psalms 51, I'll just read verses 1 through 4. David is saying, have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Why David is saying this? Why is he saying, wash me, cleanse me? Why is David saying this? He was in the process of changing. You remember his story? How David sinned and how God changed his life. A sinner can change. And that's why Mukanyo is existing. So that Mukanyo can be an agent as God used the ministry of Paul to change the life of Onesimus and to change the life of Philemon. Paul also changed. Another good example. So, if David changed, Paul changed. Should be 1980s or, yeah, should be 1980s. Mozambican president, should be 80s or 70s. The Mozambican president, late Samora Machel, said, if Zambians did it, Malawians did it. At that time, he said, why can't we do this? What he meant, he said, if the Zambians got independence, the Malawians got independence, and then he said, why can't we got independence, according to to his language. If the Zambians did it, Malawians did it, why can't we do it? Grammatically, it's wrong, but I think we have a sense of what he was trying to say. Maybe today you can also say the very same thing. If David changed his life, or if the life of David was changed, if the life of Paul was changed, why can't we change our lives? Just to use the grammar of late President Machel. There's a possibility, even now, that our lives can change. Believe in Jesus Christ. We must know who we are before Him. Someone has said, the closer we go to Christ, the more we know who we are, that we are sinners. The way we move from Christ, the more we know that we are righteous on our own. A sinner can change. The second thing is that God transforms relationship. We have had, or even we have even now, bad relationships somewhere. Sometimes we have decided just to keep quiet. When that person is trying to greet us, sometimes people say, no, I'm not going to speak to this fellow again. So that when he's coming from this direction and then you change, you move to that direction. But there is a hope. What is this hope? God can transform our relationship. Luke 23 should be verse 12. The Bible says that on the very day when Christ was being tried, Herod and Pilate became friends. And that's what Christ is doing even now. The relationship between Onesimus and Philemon was sour. But what did God do? He transformed that relationship. That's why Paul is saying, this fellow was useless, but now he is useful. He was profitless, but now he is profitable. And then he says, receive him. If that letter was addressed to you to say, receive him, and yet you know that, okay, now he's a useful person, could you say, no, I can't receive him? I don't think so. You would say, yes, and now I think he must be back. He's more than welcome. I think that's the language that could have been used. He was sending a useful person. Sometimes, maybe we need to ask churches, or we need also to ask what denominations, when they are sending missionaries or when they are sending students, are they sending useful missionaries or useful students? Maybe we need to ask. Maybe Mukanyo is supposed also to ask what a church in Malawi, my church, saying, in Kwama Synod, did you send a useful minister, a useful lecturer or not? Maybe. Useless in one kingdom, useful in another kingdom. God transforms the relationship. He may use our ministry, our gifts, to transform the relationship of other people. Are you willing that God should use you? Someone say, let God love others through you. And let others love you, let God love you through the ministry of others. Are we radiating the love of God to others? Is God using us? Or we are being used by the king in another kingdom? God has power to change hearts. That is the fundamental thing. If we want to change a person, I think the most important part of changing that person is the heart. Academicians are trying to change the mind of the people, and then they have failed. There are people who are trying to change the appearance of others, then they have failed. But the great physician, Jesus Christ, is the one who can change us through the heart. Romans 12 verse 2 says, and do not be conformed to the standard of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And again, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. A new creation starts here. God is creating a new humanity, but from inward to outward. The opposite is not true. You can't say a person will be renewed from outward then going to into what inward. No way. But from here. So if God is to work, God works through our hearts. Even the change that we were mentioning, this change was only possible because God worked through the hearts of the people. When we are in Christ, when our lives have been transformed, it means that our hearts have been transformed. Even our attitude. One of the things that we also discussed this morning was why did these people, or the people, practice what is slave trade? Why is it so that a Pharaoh African, was selling another Pharaoh African? Then the conclusion was, it was the problem of the heart. The problem of the heart. God can bring good out of evil. God can bring good out of evil. He is the only one. No any other being, no any other person can do that. It's only God. That's why we are talking about the change. Verses 13 to 16 of the passage says, it seems Onesimus ran away for a little while so that you could have him back forever. He is no longer like a slave to you. He is more than a slave, for he is a beloved brother, especially to me. Now he will mean much more to you, both as a man as well as a brother in Jesus Christ. That's what Paul is saying. Remember the life of Onesimus. There are some suggestions. They are suggesting about the reason why Onesimus had to run away from his master. Some people are saying perhaps he might also have stolen some money or some goods. Some people are giving different suggestions depending on their studies. Generally, the conclusion that we may have, I think, can be that he did something wrong. Remember, you cannot just run away without any cause. He might have wronged his master. And see, by God's by his grace, that God changed the life of this Onesimus. That's the work of God. It's 100% the work of God. There's no any additional, no subtraction. He changed the life of a persecutor to be a preacher of the gospel, Paul. What about this evil king, King David? His life was changed again. That's a wonderful grace that these people received from the Lord. Perhaps the last one is about the issue of reconciliation. I just want to mention what Paul did to Onesimus could be compared to Jesus Christ. The passage is saying that Onesimus wronged his master Philemon, and then he was separated. Meaning that he fled and he ran away. As I'm talking now, we have wronged God in one way or another. As I'm talking now, there are people who are away from God for different reasons. Onesimus wronged his master. This is according to Romans 3, verse 23. Paul wrote this letter to reconcile Onesimus and Philemon. Second Corinthians 5:17-21, Christ's work on the cross reconciled us to God. Instead of remaining enemies of God, we are now children of God through the death of Christ, through the suffering of Christ. If we believe in Christ and confess our sins, God is ready to adopt us as his children.
Paul said, if he took anything from you, account that to me. Not to Onesimus, but to Paul. The penalty of our sin was not paid by us, but by Christ Jesus. He became a priest. At the same time, he became a sacrifice. He paid for our sins. Brothers, useless in one kingdom and useful in another kingdom. Are we useless in the kingdom of the devil? Or we are useful in the kingdom of the devil? Are we useful in the kingdom of God? That's the question. God is commanding us to forgive our friends, and that through our ministry, people should experience, others should experience the love of God and the forgiveness of God. May the good Lord be with you and bless you. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we want to lift our hearts before your God. Lord, you have revealed to us that in the midst of the people of this world, and even among us, we have some who are useful in your kingdom, but useless in the other kingdom. In front of us, we have Philemon, we have Onesimus, and we have Paul and others, O Lord. Thank you for this time that you have given to us, that we can look again at what happened, and we can also reflect on the events and draw some lessons from it. We just want to ask your God to forgive our sins. Perhaps we have been useful in the kingdom of the devil for one reason or another. We just ask you, God, to forgive us so that we can be useful. Lord, help us so that we can be useful in your kingdom. Use us in a way that may bring glory to your name. We know, Lord, the kingdom of the devil will still be there, but we don't want to be part and parcel of that kingdom. That's why we humbly come before your God to ask you to forgive us and to encourage us, Lord, so that, Lord, we can be useful and remain useful in your kingdom. We surrender our hearts. We surrender our endeavors, and we surrender our plans to your God, that you should purify them. Lord Jesus Christ, be the King of my heart, and be the King of our hearts, O Lord. Rule over our hearts and our programs, and take control of our emotions, our attitude towards other people, Lord. Be with us, O Lord. We ask this in your name, the name of Jesus. Amen.